pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Congressman Palmer on the floor, so we're awaiting his arrival. Should be here any time, any moment, so stay tuned. 251-343-0106. Scott Buttram joining us here in about a half hour. A regular on this program. Suddenly the school choice question back up. I got to tell you, the more and more we're hearing about the way that the AEA has made a comeback in the state, I don't know. This is what you need to watch, those of you that watch the legislature, and it was kind of an interesting point that Todd made. Terry Collins, the representative from Decatur, the Education Policy Committee chairwoman, if she doesn't get that retained that committee seat, That'll tell you what you need to know about the Alabama Education Association and their return. And their return to prominence in Alabama politics. So, like I said, very curious to see how that's going to go coming up here in the next few days or couple of weeks, I assume. Anyway, it sounds like we got him now on the line. Very pleased to be joined by Congressman Gary Palmer of Alabama's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff. Unfortunately, they scheduled a vote right when I'm supposed to be talking with, so I had to hustle off the floor. You're not allowed to be on the phone on the floor.
Hey, I appreciate you doing that. I know logistically that it could be a nightmare sometimes doing these radio interviews, but we're glad we got you. Here we are about this election cycle. Now that it's over, the Senate didn't really happen, but at least the House is in Republican hands now.
It's going to be tremendously challenging dealing with all this, but I think the House right now is the last line of defense for keeping the Biden administration and the Democrats in the Senate from taking us completely off the rails.
I mean, it was like this, Congressman. Republicans were kind of relying upon Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema in the Senate. I guess it's a better hand, maybe a slight improvement, having a control of a chamber versus having to rely on moderate Democrats as a firewall.
Well, even if we had one of them, it's still 50-50 and Kamala breaks the tie. We only have 49. Losing the Senate is a big deal. There may be people that don't think it was that big a deal. Apparently there are people in Georgia don't think it was that big a deal. But we had flawed candidates, but even with flawed candidates, as I tell people about Herschel Walker, the one thing that I knew I could count on was that he would vote the right way. And now we've got Warnock for 6 years and Fetterman for 6 years. And never in my wildest imagination did I think that we would have people who believe what they believe being elected by what I thought were otherwise sensible people.
Well, you look at 2020 and the gains made by House Republicans, but then you compare that to 22, a little underwhelming. I mean, what do you think went wrong in the House, on the House side? Was it the same phenomenon of candidates or just a different electorate than what we thought it was?
Well, it's a combination of things. We lost some seats that we should have kept because some people who were really extreme in their views won the primaries, and every one of them lost. That's just the facts. I mean, all you got to do is check out the results. The other thing, though, is that I think there's way too much emphasis put on consultants who are Washington, D.C. consultants. One of the things that I've tried to caution people about is they don't know us. They don't know people who live in Mobile or live in Birmingham or Tucson or wherever. they're out of touch. And it seemed to me like the whole campaign centered around how bad Biden is and how bad Pelosi is, and they're Democrats and we're Republicans, vote for us. And that's just not a winning strategy. I did everything I could to get people to go out and talk about how to bring down inflation. I did a news hour with Judy Woodruff on PBS, and it was on Election Day. And she asked me about what Republicans could actually do about inflation. And I thought, these are setup questions, you know, she's setting me up. And I explained to her that, you know, that inflation is caused by three things. One is money supply, and the other is energy cost. And the final one is regulatory cost. It's a hidden tax. In the first 3 months that Biden was in office, he shut down Keystone XL. He stopped energy leases on federal lands, and immediately energy cost went up. They passed that America Rescue Plan that put another $1.9 trillion into the money supply. And in his first year in office, he added over $200 billion in regulatory costs. Congress could deal with all three of those. We don't have to wait for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates to the point that we go in recessions if we will address those. And then she asked me about crime and what we could do at the local level, and I realized she wasn't setting me up. We hadn't told anybody how to do this. And that's very frustrating to me, because I think the American people want to know how, not what needs fixing. They know that. They want to know how it can be fixed. And then they want to see us take those actions to do it.
Well, you get the sense of this, and tell me if you think I'm wrong here, but we made this election cycle a lot about maybe about personality. I don't know that we can necessarily blame Trump as much as some are, but I do think trying to make it about Biden and Biden himself and not Biden's policies was something that may have, you know, not have worked. It may have worked in the past, but you look, Congressman, at the, let's take 1994 and Newt Gingrich and Contract with America. Even though it's kind of gimmicky or whatever at the time, it worked. It was something tangible. And I know you guys had the commitment to America, but it didn't quite make the same impression, I think. It was really probably where Republicans could have done a little bit better was boning up on the policy in these campaigns.
That's exactly what I just said. And the policy committee, which I chair, was providing our members with the details that they needed. But the ads that were being run by these outside groups were highly negative, and it was, and as you so correctly pointed out, it was all about personalities. And when you're running good candidates in what were otherwise Democrat districts that Biden won, in some cases as much as by 13, 14 points, it's got to be about the issues and how to fix the problems. And just, you know, if we did a case study, it would be Oz and Fetterman. You know, they're all out there talking about Fetterman's stroke and his mental acuity. That almost made people somewhat sympathetic, you know, that, well, eventually he will overcome that. That's not why you vote against Fetterman. You vote against Fetterman because of the things that he supports, that he proposes. And the things that Pennsylvanians were struggling with, Oz didn't talk about solutions.
No,
and some of the dumbest campaign strategy I've ever seen.
Well, I wonder, you know, we saw Trump kind of win off of a, you know, just a, it's like a popularity contest. And we put these candidates that are celebrity candidates and trying to replicate that success. So Herschel Walker is a perfect example of that. And it just, it doesn't, we've moved on from that as a electorate, and it's, people want to go back to kind of boring policy-minded politicians on the Republican side.
I'm not a person that thinks that because you're famous for one thing makes you good at something else. And I'm on the steering committee, and I have these members come to me to talk to me about their committee assignments, and I tell them I tell them the same thing every time. I want to know about your work ethic. Do you Do you show up for the committees that you're on? Are you showing up prepared? Are you doing the work? I'm not interested in people who are going to wind up on Fox News two or three times a week. That's not going to help us address the issues that are really hurting the American people. And I'm telling you, Jeff, there are going to be some people, particularly in the Northeast and Northern states, that are going to struggle mightily this winter because they can't afford their household energy bills. There's 20 million Americans right now who are behind on their utility bills.
Joined by Gary Palmer. He's congressman here in Alabama, the 6th Congressional District. Congressman, a lot of emphasis in these early stages after the election on oversight, on investigations on the Republican side into the Biden administration. How comfortable are you with that? Do you think maybe they're taking a big bite here out of the Biden administration? How should that proceed?
I think that horse is out of the barn already, particularly with what Elon Musk has revealed. I think they just called votes again. Hang on a second. Anyway, this is live radio. This is what happens.
Hey, do what you got to do.
Yeah. But anyway, the investigations, I think, are going to peel back the curtains on what's really been going on. And there's Jim Jordan told us yesterday that there's 14 whistleblowers from the Department of Justice. And it's not just about Hunter Biden. It's not just about Mayorkas. It's about whether or not we have a government that does its job without making everything political and without creating these elites who are above the law. That should be a huge concern to everybody, that we're all treated equally under the law. There's no one above it, immune from prosecution for wrongdoing. And at the end of the day, though, as extremely important as I think this is, we have got to address issues that are dragging down our economy and really hurting people.
Congressman, let me ask you, Leader McCarthy appears to be in line to be Speaker. You mentioned Jim Jordan, House Freedom Caucus. Do you think there's going to be any hiccup there?
Yes, I do. I mean, you've got some people who are dug in, and I can't quite understand. I've talked to them about what it is they want, and they don't understand that we're setting ourselves up for really some bad outcomes. I mean, the worst thing that could happen is what's happened in a couple of state legislatures, most notably Arkansas. Arkansas had a Democrat majority for 138 years, and the Republicans finally won the majority in the House, 51-49. They had 100 members in their House chamber. And one of my colleagues, who's my very good friend, Congressman Bruce Westerman, was elected majority leader. And 2 days before they were to be sworn in, one of his colleagues walks up and says, "Hey, Bruce, I'm going to be the Speaker." And he said, "No, the conference has already voted on Speaker." And he said, "Nope." The Democrat governor had called him and had worked out a deal with another one of his colleagues and him and the Democrats. And the Democrats elected the Speaker of the Arkansas House. They made him Speaker. They made the other Republican, I think, chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And as a result, the Arkansas legislature passed Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. That could happen here. And they're playing with fire. And I know they've gotten a lot of really good changes to the rules, and I've commended them for it. There's some other changes I think we make. But at the end of the day, I think we've got to elect McCarthy Speaker. He's largely the reason that we got the majority because of the work he did raising money and helping these candidates. He's never been Speaker. It's hard for me to really understand the game they're playing here, but it could result in a really bad ending.
Congressman, we'll let you get back to the business of the floor, but thanks as always for making time for our audience, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Deb. Sorry for the interruptions.
I completely understand. Congressman Gary Palmer there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Plour Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work. They're always late.